news you want, you're listening to Biz Takeouts,
the Biz Community Marketing and Media Show on 2OV.fm.
Welcome to Biz Takeouts, the marketing media show, the first marketing media show for 2013. On tonight's show, we're speaking to Gary Hadfield, who is the CEO of loot.co.za, and we are looking at the current state of e-commerce in South Africa, the trends in online shopping, all of that. But before we get into that, we're going to look at our top stories for the day. Biz Community has launched its annual trends report for 2013. At the moment we've just started putting all the trends pieces onto the site. So our focus for the top five stories today are all going to be trends pieces. So go have a look at the site. There are numerous trends pieces where we get industry leaders and regular contributors to kind of give their predictions and trends for the year 2013 and what they expect to see in each different field, which they specialize in. So to look at today's stories, we kind of start up going South Africa's marketing research industry in 2013 and beyond. And this is by Craig Kolb. And he's saying, predicting the future is a hazardous business. But as technology advances so quickly, it can be quite unsettling. And in the past 5 years, there's been disturbingly high number of impossibilities having suddenly become possible. So what he's looking at is purely South African market research. And he talks about, for market researchers, the important thing to remember is that smartphones have reached a price point where they kind of, almost everyone in the market has them, and it's becoming more important. So he's saying there are a few things to remember. Online panels will continue to grow in importance, more DIY research, growing importance of analysis, reshaping the new product development and research marketing, decline in demand for interviews. So go have a look at that. He goes into each of those and kind of says this is what his prediction is for that. Our second top story for the day from Bradley Maseko, who is a regular contributor for Biz Community. He talks about social media marketing and the youth. And he says in the breakdown of social marketing media in trends for 2013, he's going to look at both external, which is obviously the youth market, and internal, which is the business or internal workings of a business and marketing efforts, and try to predict what's going to happen there. So he's saying external, he's four points to remember of visual content, social TV, social consciousness, current affairs, and then internal, he's saying social media education for the staff, social analytics, and social commerce, which, funny enough, ties into what we're talking about tonight. Third story for the day, who said magazines are dead? This is by Sue Disler. She's kind of looking at the interesting dilemma that we're kind of moving from publishing almost 3 years ago, where glossy was the hero and digital was a bad word, into an environment where kind of the ad industry was a while ago, saying you can't teach an old dog new tricks. And she goes into saying that basically for print and online, everything revolves around content. Content is key. She goes into an awesome little historical time-stamped journey, she calls it, where she kind of looks at the beginning of magazines from 1843 when The Economist launched and 1899 when National Geographic launched. And it goes into talking about how everything's evolved into digital, but how the key holding everything together is still content. And she's saying at the end of the day, she says, technology is purely the enabler. We could be publishing via 3D printing sometime very soon, but ultimately, though, it's content that fuels the trends. So yeah, go have a look at that. A very interesting read there. Our second last story for the day, Reinventing the Sales Function by Peter Gilbert. He talks about prominent sales authority professor and author Neil Rackham states, irresistible new forces are reshaping the world of selling, and sales functions everywhere are in the early stages of a radical and profound change. He goes into talking about, there's two points which he says are important for the year to come. Sensible investment in your sales team has handsome returns, and the second one is sales effectiveness. So he's talking about, a lot of people look at sales training as the starting point, where it's actually the last step to enable the sales team to perform. So go have a look at that. He says, in summary, a carefully considered and well-planned investment in sales effectiveness will yield substantial financial returns. So go have a look at that. And then our last story for the day, which kind of leads us nicely into, it's all focusing on online shopping and retail. And from Gillian Wrightford, talks about cheaper, better, faster. The biggest change in South Africa will be the continued growth of mobile and online. And she looks at how this affects everything we do, from buying deodorant to cars and basically everything. She's saying that her basic synopsis for 2013 in retail is 8 points. She's saying cheaper, better, made for me, faster, more buys for less, goodbye to the middleman, blur between brick and digital, and really build relationships and communities. So go have a look at that. She goes into each one in detail, and you can kind of see what she's kind of talking, what her trends are for each of those. And that was our news roundup for the day. Go have a look at Biz Trends on bizcommunity.com. You can see all those reports and more, and yeah, kind of see what 2013 holds. We're going to take a quick song, and then we'll be right back after that with Gary to talk about loot.co.za and some e-commerce shopping trends.
Thank you. The sun may rise in the east, at least it's settled in a final location. It's understood that Hollywood sells Californication.
Takeouts, the Biz Community Marketing and Media Show on 2OZ.FM.
Welcome back to Biz Takeouts, the marketing and media show. Yes, so that was the Californication by Red Hot Chili Peppers. And in tonight's show, we are looking at the state of e-commerce and the trends in e-commerce and online shopping in South Africa. We're chatting to Gary Hatfield, who's the current CEO for loot.co.za. And yeah, we'll be speaking to him about everything based online shopping. So welcome to the show.
Thanks very much, Warren.
Cool. Okay, I think let's start out. I think let's kind of look at loot.co.za. I know you guys have been around since 2003. Well, what is a quick kind of history of Loot, and where have you guys come from, and where are you at the moment?
Sure, 100%. Loot was founded in 2003 by Michael and Haley van Rooyen. Michael's an engineer by trade, Haley also a developer, and they basically spent a good few years developing the back end, building, in essence, a book business for most of that period, and becoming the number two book online reseller in South Africa.
Okay.
I joined in Jan 2011, and key for me was to start, obviously, expansion from a category perspective, taking DVD up, taking gaming up, launching electronics and various other categories. So really from our perspective now is really rounding out and building a more broad-based B2C e-commerce play.
Okay.
And really trading in all the classic categories that you need to be.
Yeah.
And I think we'll chat later in the show about that as well, is that majority of SA sort of B2Cs like ourselves have really built out a media product, but it's the new categories where the growth is going to come from.
Exactly. Okay, I'm going to take a quick step back, and then we're going to go forward into those new categories. You guys launched a relook site. I don't know if relook's the right word. It's just a relaunch in October last year, correct?
That's correct, yeah.
What were the changes besides the extra categories? What other major changes were there, and what were the changes for?
I think a critical thing is, I mean, we acknowledged internally, and when I joined in 2011, that the site's obviously dated, and we really had to do more than a revamp. And I spent time with the designers really looking at every aspect from a UI perspective, checkout, so classic UX, UI, every aspect of it, from payments through to the look and feel, through to creating really good placeholders for merchandising, especially in lieu of the launch of new categories.
Yeah.
It's difficult to... books merchandising is very, very difficult, different to a toy or baby or fashion item.
Yeah.
And really creating a site where we're able to launch a lot of new categories and they can comfortably live in that, and then looking at all the key 101s of.
Okay, and then obviously this was just in time for the whole Christmas festive season online shopping.
Sure.
Quickly, instead of looking at, and we're not going to get the whole industry, we're just looking at Loot, how was the Christmas festive season for you guys in terms of sales?
Yeah, I think November, my experience prior, November is always a big cracker, but I saw quite a delay this year, and really November was good, but December was the shooting the lights out.
Oh, so everyone left it for the last minute, really?
They did, which is not sort of characteristic of online, but I think it's indicative of where the economy is at globally and locally, that the spend was delayed, but then they went ballistic.
Okay, so after that, and everyone was waiting for the last minute, same day, next day delivery, which is obviously important.
Yeah, yeah, and we saw areas like electronics, which I mentioned previously, really shoot the lights out in terms of growth year on year. Areas like toys, so all the new non-media categories were really coming out, and they were spending money on that.
Okay, we're talking about different categories. What are the top-selling categories within Loot, and does that correlate to South Africa as a whole?
Yeah, I think one's got to break it up. I think if one looks at traditional players like Loot, and like the likes of Takealot, you're playing in a lot of the media type product. For Loot, books is really has been the mainstay. It still is the biggest part of the business, but that's changing very fast. Areas like electronics are aggressively starting to take over in terms of the mix. Areas like toys. And then despite DVD being at where it's at in the curve, we're seeing really good growth at the moment.
Okay, interesting.
Yes.
So people are still buying DVDs instead, and they're not just downloading them
I think that's quite amazing. So we've seen really big growth in those areas. And then toys, and more the educational type toys, the Legos of the world, those type of educational type of products selling.
Okay, so we're obviously looking at a certain, I hate the term, but LSM. There's a certain LSM who obviously have internet access, who are the kind of people, the audience which you guys are speaking to.
Yes.
What do you think are some of the boundaries for online shopping?
I think the boundaries in terms of categories.
No, in terms of shopping. We can actually look at categories as well. That's an interesting point.
Well, I think in take both counts. I think in terms of categories, I think South Africa has been crying out for, especially in the traditional players like ourselves, for please liberate us from media-only product.
Yeah.
Please start selling us fashion. Start selling us homeware. And I think those, the homeware, fashion, and electronic segment are the biggest growth areas in all the formats that are they taking. So whether it's from flash sale or group buying scenarios,
yeah,
or like ourselves, fashion and homeware has really seen big growth. Players like Yuppie Chef, mm-hmm, in a vertical format, and I think that's also in the last 12 to 24 months, you've seen the verticals,
yeah,
like those come through very, very strongly.
Yeah.
So I think from a category perspective, there are not too many boundaries, and I think general merchandise as a whole, you know, if you take something like electronics, mm-hmm, it's worth 28 billion rand in the SA economy.
Yeah.
Something like books is about 2 or 3 billion.
Yeah.
You know, it's these categories are just so massive, and that's why fashion, the likes of Zando and fashion as a whole is taking off, because it's such a big category and it's consumed, yeah, where the rest is quite discretionary. You've got to get clothes,
yeah,
you've got to buy food,
yeah,
and I think in that sense there are not too many boundaries.
Well, it's interesting that you see a lot of the retailers actually launching their own, specifically fashion, like there's been, yeah, Mr. Price recently, they're all launching their own, so they see the value in this. So looking at that, kind of what have been the online shopping trends over the last decade in South Africa particularly, so why are these guys kind of coming into the market now?
Well, I think one of the big things, I think one takes, let's not say the decade, let's take a step back sort of five years ago. What started happening is the appetite for e-commerce started growing.
Yeah.
The first investor started coming in, some of the big players, the media companies started really investing. And in the last 24 months, and especially 12, global venture capitalists are coming in at an aggressive rate, investing, yeah, in e-commerce. And that has been quite the catalyst for, yeah, getting that, you know, instilling the appetite, mm-hmm, to grow. And as a consequence, your traditional bricks.
Yeah.
I think, you know, the likes of Mr. Price, I think it's both, we better do it as a defensive. Here comes Zando. Geez, yeah, what are we going to do?
Yeah.
Here comes Five Rooms or whatever the, yeah, brand. So I think we have to do it. And I think it's they know they've got to do it, but they feel it's a defensive strategy as well. And they've got to move damn fast, because,
okay,
these globally funded companies are coming in and making inroads in a very short time frame.
I've never actually thought of it as a defensive strategy, but it's an interesting point.
Yeah.
I've never thought about it like that. If you look at, okay, kind of what do you think makes the likes of, say, you mentioned Zando and kind of like your and Loot and your top e-commerce players, what makes them stand out? It's obviously advertising, or where do you think the kind of difference is between like your class A online shopping and class B?
No, I think it's a couple of fundamentals. I think in terms of last mile delivery, how that aspect is, and in the quality,
yeah,
the customer service component, how that's managed,
yeah,
the online site experience, areas like the adherence to security and privacy policies,
yeah,
etc., good returns policies,
yeah,
and then ultimately the other big catalyst is good pricing, and that you can only really achieve in the businesses you've described with getting scale,
yeah,
or having deep pockets.
Okay, and when it comes to actual advertising of online stores, kind of which direction do you guys take, and which ones do you think are the right avenues to be taking?
Well, I think some of in our case, we pretty much play the online,
okay,
in terms of Google in all its formats. We're going to be reviving our affiliate program, changing our referral program, and really majority of measurable,
yeah,
type of acquisition and retention tools.
Okay.
So online is going to be the main driver. I think out in the market, I mean, some of the big other guys with deep pockets are spending an exorbitant amount of money.
Yeah.
I'm not saying it's wrong,
yeah,
but and it's obviously for brand building. But in terms of driving convertible online customer acquisition,
yeah,
to me, it's done online.
And obviously, there's quite a big difference between this is going to be a strange term, probably. It's going to be your traditional like e-commerce stores, so
yes,
like Loot, and compared to your group buying online store,
yeah, sure,
commerce. Like, how much impact does the Groupons and that of the world have on your traditional online stores? Is there any impact when it comes to price? The people actually getting people to start using online, has Groupon had a positive impact on that?
Well, I think the more players entering the market at the moment is conducive, because,
yeah,
we've got to change consumer behaviors and, yeah, industry. So I'm quite encouraged. All about competition. If you take the Groupons of the world, I mean, they've got millions of new customers in like just over a 12, 14-month period.
Yeah.
Right. So in a traditional business like ourselves and the likes of Takealot, that takes years to accomplish. But it's a different dynamic. It's a different type of transaction. But I've always said what's great about the Groupon, it gets people transacting online.
Yeah.
So I think they serve as a catalyst for broader-based,
yeah,
you know, e-commerce.
Okay. We're going to take a quick song, and then we're going to come back and look at why are more people using online shopping, and also and kind of see what's happening on that side. But we're going to take a quick song from the Foo Fighters, and we'll be right back after that.
business drivers and opinion makers. You're listening to Biz Takeouts, the Biz Community Marketing and Media Show on 2OV.fm.
Welcome back to Biz Takeouts, the Marketing and Media Show. We are still chatting to Gary from Loot regarding the current state of e-commerce and trends in online shopping in South Africa. If you have got any questions for us, you can get us on Twitter with hashtag Biz Takeouts, B-I-Z Takeouts. If you have any questions for Gary or myself, and we'll see what we can do. Okay, we've kind of looked at the history of Loot and the trends and all of that. I think let's look at South Africa as a whole. Obviously, we can look at the figures and we can see more people are buying online, which is a fact, correct?
Sure, that's 100%.
South Africa as a whole, you can see the pricing. What do you think that increase is due? Because it's been a relatively good growth over a short period of time. Why do you think we've seen that in South Africa?
I think one of the big ones, obviously, is the bandwidth cost. Connectivity costs have come down. Another big one for me is mobile internet access. Tablets to me are the panacea.
Yeah.
And in more ways than one, and I think it's worth discussing, is in terms of how a tablet engages with television. A few years ago, television was, could be quite a throwaway. If you think about it, it's not. Because a person sitting with a tablet there's that engagement. And I think there's a lot being said in the last 6 to 12 months of that aspect. So I think just mobile access, and we're seeing those numbers increase.
Yeah.
We'll be launching a responsive site soon for all tablets. That's a big thing that's been a catalyst and a change. Last mile delivery as a whole. It's in all the economies where e-commerce has done well, the last mile delivery has been well executed.
Okay, when you say last mile delivery, what exactly is that?
So, post your ordering, we're getting the product in, we dispatch it out, and that whole quality of that service to the customer, the engagement in that regard.
Okay.
All the key players in this country really have raised the benchmark. I think twofold, not just in the quality, but also in the time frame of the delivery, getting it out to you. Okay. And that's really been a key as well. And the other key thing to me is just more people launching, more players has been conducive.
Yeah.
So when you start dealing with those categories, spoke about like clothing, homeware, which are such really big categories versus a lot of the media type product like CDs and books, then more people coming online. And the demographic, I think, is, I've heard some interesting information on the demographics on the fashion side. It's bringing really urban youth across Gauteng into online buying. The younger demographic coming in by virtue of the fashion component coming in.
Yeah.
It's actually becoming quite sexy to order online. Years ago, let's say, if you have certain brands, would you order fashion?
Yeah.
But the brands are becoming sexy.
Yeah.
And I think it's changing the demographic and the profile. Then you couple that with the mobile internet access, you're starting to bring a new demographic online.
Okay, I'm going to jump slightly and then I'm going to come back. You're speaking about the youth and all of that. So obviously, how important is m-commerce and specifically social commerce when dealing with the youth? Because obviously, Facebook and all of that's very important.
Sure.
What do you kind of see the trend is around that, and where is it going?
Yeah, I think from an e-commerce perspective, it's just a natural occurrence now. People are just accessing via the mobile phone. Some people are developing native apps. Some people are doing responsive, like ourselves. We're launching responsive. You've just got to adapt and get that going. And looking at practical things like conversion rates. I had a look at Google stats, and I looked at the conversion rates off a mobile phone, off a tablet. They're bloody brilliant.
Yeah.
So you're getting person on the fly, and I think it's a very personal engagement. It's very, very different to the PC. The person's engaging with you because on that device that they're carrying around. So I think it's heavily affecting. And I think the new younger demographic coming on is just going to accelerate the e-commerce in SA just by virtue of the new categories coming into play.
Okay. And in the whole social commerce side?
Yeah, the social commerce, I think we've got substantial lessons to learn in SA from an e-commerce player's perspective. I was critted the other day in an article was released as saying, all CEOs got the misconception when you've got a lot of fans, that it's cooking. Obviously, I don't see it as simplistic as that. We're quite happy to have 21,000 fans and growing.
Yeah.
But with Facebook, they change the rules all the time. And get that reach, and I work with a team, and we'll start certain campaigns, and literally, even for all the big players with big audiences, you've really got to run a lot of more campaigns now.
Okay.
Otherwise, that engagement drops by virtue of what almost like I call the Facebook censor board in terms of getting that reach out there.
But you obviously see both of those as growth points for South Africa and for Loot.
Definitely growth points. And I think we will be launching new categories, and I think certain categories, and you'll see fashion categories. Hmm. You'll see players like Runway Sell, for example, using Facebook quite extensively.
Yeah.
Again, that demographic. And I think certain categories will lend themselves to actually translating into transactions more than prior. And I think we've got to stop looking simplistically at these audience one-time engagement, actually saying, well, let's take this audience. Do they convert? Start looking at the metrics. start measuring in terms of conversions.
Yeah.
And we've been doing quite a lot of testing on Facebook with different executions, and we've been getting pretty good results.
Yeah. And then, okay, we're going to jump back now to the to kind of the barriers and kind of what's making South Africa kind of grow in the whole online side. To me, a big part of it is trust, and it's trust about security of your payment, and also trust about trust with your data. How important, from your understanding, how important are those two elements, and kind of how is South Africa dealing with those trust issues?
I think from a trust perspective, I think, you know, if you mentioned payments, for example, it looks like very cosmetic, but it's really good to have a whole string of payment options with Visa, Diners, Amex up there, because that installs trust in itself. And then obviously things like Verifine Thought or whatever, Norton, whatever, that's very prevalent. You'll see the sites, especially in the last 12 months. I mean, when you do registration, you really rack up all those aspects that are overtly promoted to sort of conjure up and say, look, trust us.
Yeah.
And in terms of privacy and the Consumer Protection Act, the adherence in that regard, everyone's sharpened up in that respect, but overtly promoting that and educating customers to be looking for that in terms of making a decision to buy at a particular online
shop. And then, okay, obviously there are many players in the market now, and you guys coming in. What do you think are the key differences between the guys who are going to be here for a long time and the guys who are kind of flash in the pan overnighters? What do you think are those points which kind of makes the good stand out from the flashes?
Well, I think if I could just sort of maybe answer it slightly differently, I think there are a lot of players entering the market in terms of what I alluded to in terms of the global investment.
Yeah.
So certain players are coming in and they're building fast. I mean, certain players that we've mentioned are building fast, but you know, if you go to certain out there and you look at the voice of the consumer, what they're saying, so they're doing it at all costs.
Yeah.
But they potentially have an exit strategy for 12 to 24 months.
Probably. Yeah.
And that's what you're dealing with. So your stalwart players, to come back to your original question, those that are built here to stay are looking at the aspects of privacy, security, looking at payment options, building category, creating a customer experience, looking at last mile delivery. So all the key touch points that consumers have, saying what is the customer, and listening to the customer from a voice perspective, and continue looking in terms of category introduction and growth.
Yeah.
Because you can really you can easily run into a trap, and all of a sudden a particular category, especially media, is on the decline.
Mm-hmm.
What do your customers? They'll just migrate across. So really being in touch from a consumer behavior perspective, continuous research through to your customer base.
Yeah.
On a continuous basis, researching what do you like, what categories, what do you think, getting that feel. And that's where from a social commerce perspective, and you know, we're going to be using the Evly platform to start rating. What do you think about this? What do you think about this? Rate this device, rate this tablet. Yeah. Start reading that, getting engagement and saying, we want to listen to you, we want your feedback.
Mm-hmm.
Facebook's just not about, you know, we're giving prizes away and building big fan bases, but start using it as the sounding board.
Okay, you've just mentioned something quite interesting as well, which you're talking about asking clients shoppers to give you feedback and reviews and that. How has online shopping changed consumer behavior in terms of, like, say, impulse purchases and kind of peer pressure or peer recommendation? How do those factors impact shoppers' behavior?
Well, I think in SA, it's still not as ubiquitous as it is in the States, for example.
Yeah.
But that's changing a hell of a lot. I mean, we work with a lot of the bloggers and blogger community, and we value that input in terms of the traction and the feedback we get. And I think increasingly so, reviews on the site and off-site are going to play a hell of a role in terms of purchase decisions. But I think that also differs by category. If you're buying a camera for 10 or 15 grand, you know, you potentially go to CNET, to Egg, you'll shop around globally, not just locally.
Yeah.
You'll go to, you know, areas like Price Check and compare. So a hell of a lot of, depending on the category type, a lot more homework gets done.
Okay.
And I think that also the degree of research that gets done.
And do you think the term impulse purchase exists in an online environment?
Absolutely. I mean, if you take, especially in the flash, and I mean, we're talking about what really is exciting in the arena is the players coming in the flash environment. So, you know, you've got the City Mobs, you've got the runway sales of the world. That is brilliant. You know, 80% off you go, high fashion items rebated. And the reality is there's a lot of distressed inventory in South Africa and globally.
Yeah.
And that's where the impulse comes in, and you're going to get the designer deal at 80% off. You're going to do it.
Okay. And so is that's impulse based purely on a price point? or are there other factors when it comes to impulse? So like kind of desirability and that kind
of thing? I think desirability, I think, goes hand in hand. It's, yeah, I know we're harping on fashion, but I think it's an important one. Yeah. It's a good example. I think the whole aspirational of a really good brand and having, an, you know, whether it's Prada or Guess, whatever you deem to be aspirational, that'll differ as well. Whether it be Gap or whatever, or Zoggy, you know, Creeps, whatever the case may be. That aspect's playing a hell of a big role.
Yeah.
And coming back to the demographic I mentioned, the younger demographic, the urban youth, it's a big thing. But they were quite proud to say that they bought it at a particular site now before, because the sites are sexy.
Yeah. We're going to take another quick song. Then we're going to come back for the last section of the show. We're going to talk about kind of what the future holds. And then also, I think, let's look closer at some of the categories and how retailers get involved. And then also some advice for guys who are thinking of getting into the market. So we'll be right back after the Ting Tings.
listening to Biz Takeouts,
the Biz Community Marketing and Media Show on 203.fm.
Welcome back to Biz Takeout, the Marketing and Media Show, and we're entering the last stretch for the show. We're speaking online shopping and e-commerce in South Africa. We've looked at everything we've looked at. I'm going to go through everything. So kind of going forward, I think let's start out and say, if there are new players, you mentioned new players coming into the market, what is your advice for the independent guys looking who've maybe got a little shop or something, who they want to start their own e-commerce site? Well, what is your advice for them?
Well, I think there's a couple of ways for people to enter. So if somebody's really hasn't even got a bricks presence, I advocate, a marketplace like Bidobuy.
Yeah.
A lot of big businesses were built out of starting a marketplace, test the waters there. It's very easy. They've got the payment options, very turnkey. So for your really, really nascent little business, you want to get going, test the waters online, and then say, okay, now I'll launch a site post that, I'd really advocate going to the likes of a marketplace like Bidobuy.
Okay.
And really learning quite a few lessons there about delivery, about payments, how the customer reacts, what they think about you, waiting, and then progress. And I think for the one thing that is really positive in SA, and having looked and been raising capital in the last 12 months myself, the funding for small ventures that are looking for a couple of hundred thousand or 500,000 or a million in South Africa, the appetite's increased.
Okay.
I think that also is a function of the global investment and the appetite. The local VCs are starting to look at these guys and pump that money in.
Yeah.
And like Angel Hub, for example, is a good example where you can go on. And if you just had a Google new venture capitalist, there are a lot of forums that really create. So if you want to raise a small amount of money, it's becoming, I wouldn't say easier, but there's access to it with the right business plan. And the one big word of advice is walk in prepared into, if you're going to, even if it's a small angel investor, really understand the market, have a decent business plan, walk in with decent metrics into the place, because really sets the tone.
Yeah.
I've spoken to VCs, post us getting funding, saying the guys are walking in, they're sketching these big, if we get 2% of X, it'll be worth Y.
Yeah.
But they don't have the roadmap, they don't understand the metrics and the key drivers.
Yeah.
So key advice is get those basic building blocks in place, and when you're approaching guys, for funding. And I think in more practical terms, operationally, get your operational, in other words, your last mile delivery.
Yeah.
Your when you're packing your products, the quality, the care that's taken in regard to that aspect. Very quickly, Google Analytics, get it up, start measuring, starting understanding how the customers, where are they coming from, how they're converting, why are they leaving. Google Analytics makes it really easy for a new entrant in that regard. So I think there's a wealth of, both from a practical measurement perspective, from a back-end perspective, there's a wealth of knowledge available. And I think folks like ourselves are sharing a hell of a lot of information in that regard. And pop me a mail.
Okay, we're going to get your contact details right at the end.
Yeah.
I'm going to look at it from the other side quickly. So instead of looking as let's call it the shop owner or the online store owner, if you're a supplier, how do you get involved with an online store? So do you guys approach your clients for their products within each category, or do clients approach you?
I think in a lot of categories, you're approaching the suppliers. Yeah. With take something like electronics, you're going out, and as you gain momentum, they start coming towards you. So I think that's that happens. We often get a person with a single book published coming to us and approach, where to get it up, et cetera.
Okay.
So I think we're very open and receptive to that. And as more and more of the suppliers are, I use the word braver, to supply online and not to be worried about what bricks and mortar think if they supply a loot of the world, et cetera.
Yeah.
It becomes, and as you build momentum, it starts coming towards you.
Okay. And then also, once again, from the retailer side, how does it work? Is there a set percentage that you guys take? So if someone's got a product, say a flash drive or whatever it may be, and they come to you and say, I want to sell this flash drive, how does it work? They sign a contract with you, they get a percentage
In the case of, in our case, we're dealing with suppliers, we're dealing with disties, like a Rectron or Pinnacle, which are wholesalers. So they'll come, we'll sign a contract, et cetera, and we'll do a markup, et cetera, in that regard. In that case, if you're a retailer wanting to get online, as I've mentioned before, go to a marketplace, they'll take a slice of the pie, give the traction,
perfect,
and that's how it goes. We get a percentage.
Okay. Looking forward, what is the next big thing for Loot itself? So what can we expect in the next 12, 24 months? And then also kind of, What trends are happening overseas which you expect to be seeing in South Africa?
Sure. Just from a Loot perspective, we'll definitely continue category expansion, definitely outside of media, going to the more traditional. And from our perspective as well, you know, we don't see just the pure horizontal business. There are other opportunities outside of the Loot brand.
Yeah.
So Loot as a whole, as a broader, we'll explore some verticals. We're looking at some B2B opportunities. You know, that's from our perspective. It's not just about that, because we're competing against some big players in this arena, and it's not always, it doesn't make good business sense to always go head on.
Yeah. And then countries overseas which are similar to South Africa, like who do you guys keep an eye on? Like, obviously, I imagine America is quite far ahead. Are there countries which are similar to ours?
It's always a difficult question. I think we do look at UK and US a hell of a lot, and Europe as you know, as a whole. In some instances, India is probably similarities in some respect in terms of the nascency of that. Obviously, this not the size of the market, because it's different.
Yeah.
But in terms of the early stage, in many respects, there are some lessons to be learned in that regard.
Okay, and then last couple of questions.
Yep.
When looking at advertising and trying to get your brand out there, what do you think makes specifically for online retail now? What makes a good campaign turn into a great campaign?
I think the key thing is integration, and in terms of a well integrated strategy from marketing perspective, from the site through to the PPC to the display to the affiliate network. So that is really well integrated from a marketing perspective, and it's well structured and planned.
Yeah.
And you know, I've always said, you know, it's no use, you know, you get so many opportunities, people saying you want to advertise here, do that. It must be part of a plan. It would be well structured, well integrated. And when those things start to come together, you get halo effects happening.
Yeah.
So if you do it well and execute on Facebook, bring it all the parts together like that. I mean, that really makes a great and exceptional campaign.
Because to me, that's kind of what drives the success of any online store is the brand. So I think that's an integral part of that. Okay, we have actually run out of time for the show. So if anybody wants to get hold of you, how can they do that? Or can we email?
Yeah.
Obviously, website's loot.co.za. So definitely have a look there. But if someone wants to get hold of you, suppliers, advice, anybody, kind of who can they get hold of?
Gary@loot.co.za.
That easy. Cool. And then I've got one last question for you. We're saying, if you were to have an arm wrestle with Michael van Rooyen, who's the founder of Loot, who do you reckon would actually win that fight?
Jeez, that's a good question.
Now you have to think about this question quite seriously.
I think we.
It can't be a draw.
It can't be a draw. I'd probably say I'd win the fight.
You reckon?
Yes.
I hope you heard that, Michael, that Gary reckons he could beat you in an arm wrestle. Cool. Thank you, Gary. Thank you so much for joining us. Yeah, it's been a very interesting chat. To me, online, it excites me. I think there's so much potential there, and I'm so pleased with the way South Africa is handling that whole arena and that environment. I think it's definitely a space to watch for the next couple of years.
Yeah.
Thank you so much for being with us.
Thank you.
That was Gary Hadfield from loot.co.za, and that was Biz Takeouts for this week. We will catch you next Thursday, same time, same place. Go have a look at the site tomorrow for the recap and the podcast, and we will see you next week.